This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. This is Enterprise BizBytes at 12.04, coming up to 12.05 on this Tuesday, 16th of July, 2019. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
I'm Vinny Raj.
Our producer is Christine Wong, with us all the way through till 1 o'clock this afternoon. And my name is Rich Bradbury, in case you've forgotten. Now, coming up on today's show, we are going to be talking about all things productive and techno stress. Excuse me while I adjust my seat. Now, techno stress, as I came on to say on Frieda's show a little bit earlier on when I was interrupting her, is not in fact a German dance band. Mm-hmm. Techno stress is the stress and negative psychological impact of introducing new technologies at work. Our question of the day then refers to that, and we'll be discussing about productivity tools and whether or not they're actually productive. Some of you out there I know use a whole bunch of them, some of you don't and are quite old school like me and use a piece of paper or a notepad. Let us know though what your thoughts are, whether or not you've found some productive tools or some unproductive tools have been thrust upon you and you've been made to use them. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us via WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. As usual, we're at BFM Radio. So that's the story we're leading with. Then on to how the car industry is reinventing the wheel to prepare for autonomous vehicles. Sounds yep. like a story I should have on Cruise Control, you know.
Maybe.
On a Wednesday evening here on BFM, the only car show in Southeast Asia, I hear. And story number three, though, how NUS's wearable tech has way better connectivity and battery life. What's all this about, Off?
So they came up with clothes that you can wear to boost the connectivity of your wearable devices. So like your Fitbits and your watches. You get to save 1,000 times battery life just by wearing a T-shirt with these metal strips. It's just super interesting.
So your own signal booster, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah.
Great stuff, right. So new technology isn't always going to be the answer to your productivity issues at work. And we know that if you're a manager, you want your team to do their best. And that naturally means making sure they have all the tools they need. Sometimes, though, that new calendar app, that communication tool or project management software might be causing more harm than good. So when people have that pressure to be more productive, they have higher expectations and often less time for work, asking your team to learn a new complex tool on their own can be incredibly stressful. Not too long ago, we toyed with the idea of using Slack, didn't we?
Yes, as a team.
We all signed up for it. We all tried it for about a day and a half, I think it was.
Really.
I mean, we still used it every now and again, but really it was just
really?
A bit...
Did you use it even once?
Maybe you still use it now and again. I don't know where my app is.
I may have sent like 2 or 3 messages, posted a couple of GIFs in there, and I think that was about it.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't resonate with the way in which we work as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, we seem to be using the Google Suite very well and very effectively, and that seems to be our preferred method of working, right? So... the idea of this whole techno stress, I've seen this and I think potentially suffer from it somewhat in some of the apps that I've been asked to use or have to use, or even sometimes I think when we moved studios and we had to learn how to use new software and we had to learn how to use a new desk and things, I think... some people, myself included, for the first couple of weeks, suffered a little bit of techno stress. So there's 5 categories that they kind of look at when you break it down as to what can cause techno stress. The first one is invasion. You know, technology is taking over my life, not like the Area 51 invasion that people are planning right now. But it's like, you know, everybody takes their work home with us right now. Smartphones, high-speed internet, you're rarely restricted to just the workplace. When you used to finish work at 5 p.m., that was it. You know, you didn't go home and you didn't check your phone, you didn't have emails to check, and nobody would call you at 11 p.m. or whatever saying, have you done this? Because if they did, back then, it was a gross invasion of privacy. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it. Number 2, overload. You can't keep up with all these tasks. Even when work somehow stays at work, we're often overloaded by interruptions. So consider this. On average, most office workers receive 121 emails every day. That's not including your instant messages or anything like that.
Just emails.
Just emails.
Mm. We get about 120 an hour sometimes.
Yeah. It's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Complexity, how technology is too complicated. Many workers inexperienced with tech find new tools unnecessarily complex and intimidating. Even though somebody may come to you and say, look, this is going to make your life easier. Things, once you've learned this, you'll be a lot faster, you'll be this. You just go, no, I'm just happy writing it down on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems to be okay. Insecurity is the next one. If I can't work out how to use this technology, I'll get fired. We've heard that before, you know.
Yeah. You feel like you just can't keep up.
Feel like a bit of a dinosaur. Number five, uncertainty. Wait, is that how this technology is supposed to work? You know, don't push that button. You're going to break it. That's what a lot of people think, right? You know, when you're using that new piece of tech. My mum actually suffers from that terribly. So, you know, all this leads to some kind of stresses and strains. You know, physical strain, headaches, sore necks, back, shoulder muscle problems, mental health problems, emotional problems. You know, and there's ways of dealing with it. You can assess the risk. You can increase general awareness. You can encourage work boundaries and all of those things. That's all great. But at the end of the day, it boils down to how you work as a team and how you work as an individual and what works for you and what does not work for you, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll boil it down simply for me, a piece of paper with my list of things I have to do, when I have to get them completed by, with the date at the top like you used to do at school. Number one, I have to do this. Number two, I have to do this. Number three, I have to do this. Scratch it out, scratch it out, scratch it out, done.
Yeah.
Simple
yeah.
as that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
So I downloaded a bunch of apps to use before, maybe a couple of years ago. Like, you know, there are a bunch of like management apps and list apps and stuff. I think there was like AnyDo, what one was called, where you can just like make up lists and brackets. And when you're done with the list, like you need to shop for a few things or you need to finish a few things at home or during the weekend, then you just cancel them off or you can strike through just by swiping. None of those apps actually worked because they didn't keep me on them long enough. Like after a couple of weeks, I would lose track of the app and then I wouldn't update it. And then the list would just, I would check the list maybe 2 months later once I'm done with like everything. So I stopped using apps. What I do now is just like basically Google Docs, I feel works best. It's a bit, I know it's old school and it's not, I mean, quote unquote old school, and it's not the most efficient way to list the things you have to do or your productivity or whatever, but I make my own brackets, I have my own tables, and I can access Google Docs wherever I want. You know, so it's easy, but it also keeps me connected when I need to be connected to the doc. Like I can access it on my phone, I can access it on my laptop, or whenever I need to look at the list. At the same time, it has the same effect of writing something down on a piece of paper or like in a notepad without actually having the notepad. So I don't have to carry that thing everywhere I go. I just need that you know, the doc that I can access. So that's what I do. It's just Google Docs.
So pretty much the same thing as Arvind. You know, I've tried downloaded a couple of productivity tools and apps on my phone. Nothing really kind of like stuck. Other than Wunderlist. So Wunderlist was recently, not recently, well, in 2015, they were purchased by Microsoft. And I think Microsoft is working on trying to replace the app and calling it To-Do or To-Do-It or something like that. They've basically recognized that Wunderlist is a great productivity tool. So what it allows you to do is to share lists with other people. So if you're working on a project with someone else, then you've got one to-do list, and then you can kind of check off as and when as the project progresses. And I've actually found that this is great for any kind of list because you get to share it with other people, right? So you can check things off, and it's quite satisfying when you do that. You can actually opt for no notifications to be sent to you. So that, I guess, for me, works as well. And the best part is it's great for like holiday prep when you're thinking, okay, who's going to book the flight tickets? Who's going to book the hotel rooms? Who's going to do research on this? And it's, you know, you can actually incorporate your kids in it as well and like do a whole like chore list, so you know who's going to do the sweeping if you're done, and it's a nice way to manage the things that you have to do.
You can collab with other people.
Yeah, so it's as simple as like even grocery lists for home. You know, it's like, you know, who's bought the bread? Has anyone bought bread and milk yet? You know, so if someone's checked it off, you know you don't have to do that on your way home, right? So it's like things like that. So that's kind of stuck. Wunderlist has worked for me, and I've been using it for maybe about 2 years now. What hasn't worked for me is Slack. Also, you know, I find Gmail kind of gives me techno stress just because, like I said, you know, we get like 100 emails an hour, and like just those notifications kind of, I keep going back to check my email because I just have this thing where I have to remove that little red bulb, right? And I find that very disruptive to, you know, doing whatever else that I was doing. And I think the same goes for WhatsApp as well. You've got WhatsApp web, right? That, I find, gives me techno stress as well. So I don't know if... I try my best not to check my emails. I think you guys have heard me on the desk going like, don't check your emails, don't check your emails, Audrey. Yeah, so, but WhatsApp is the same as well.
That's what we've got. We asked a bunch of people around the office as well, because, of course, people are producing shows, they're creating shows, they're working on multiple shows, so it keeps it helps to keep track of what you are doing. We thought we'd ask some of the interns, some of the producers, and some of the presenters what kind of productivity tools they use.
I use a range of them besides Google Suites. There's also Hootsuite. For me personally, a checklist base would be more effective simply because I have something of a visual guide.
I actually use Evernote, but not for work. So I use it to keep, in terms of like recommendations given to me by people. And sometimes when I have particular thoughts that come to me when I'm working or, you know, on the go, I just write it down.
Personally, I've just used a notebook of my own. I write down my deadlines, what I need to do, when do I need to do it by, and I find that having it written down in a paper that I have right next to me is more useful than having it on an app. When apps give you reminders, it's very easy to switch it off and snooze it, and then you don't see it anymore. But then when I have it on paper, it's right there constantly reminding me until I cross it off.
And that's why I still use paper.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were saying earlier on about you using the apps, I wanted to interject and say, yeah, but you could just snooze it and you can come back to it later.
Yeah.
Whenever you have it written down, it's there staring you in the face. You know, even for like a shopping list, I'll still do it old school, piece of paper, walk into a mall or supermarket, and I've got it physically in my hand, and I'm like... I look at myself sometimes doing it and I'm like, yeah, my dad used to do this, but...
But ink is ink.
Yeah, ink is ink.
Yeah.
Right.
But what happens when you forget that list? When you leave it on the table?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Mm. Yeah. Right, we're going to wrap up for this segment. When we come back, we'll be speaking more about this. But we'll be focusing down and asking whether or not productivity tools are difficult to implement by the same people we've just spoken to there. We have an expert, Sebastian Marshall. He's the co-founder of Ultraworking. They're an R&D tech productivity company. We'll be asking him, how do you even measure productivity in the first place? We want to ask you guys at home, though, are productivity tools actually productive? Let us know, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Music up next, The Undertones. You've got my number. Why don't you use it?
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio today with...
Arvind Raj.
And Audrey Raj.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock. Productivity is our topic of discussion today. Have you found a productivity tool that is useful for you? Are productivity tools actually productive? That's what we are discussing. We want your tweets, we want your WhatsApps, and we want your messages over on Insta Story. Twitter first, please, Arv.
Yeah, so this comes from Up41, who says, yes and no. Example, spreadsheet makes life easy, but a simple decision that takes less than 5 minutes may take days because someone wants to look at the spreadsheet. Without spreadsheet, some managers can't think. Same with PowerPoint. You know the story of Amazon boss and how he dislikes PowerPoint. And
everybody
then,
dislikes PowerPoint, my friend. Everybody.
Yep. We also have a poll on Twitter, and at the moment, it's 64% for no and 36% for yes.
Okay, interesting.
Can we have some WhatsApp, please, Odds?
Yeah, sure. So this one here comes from Daniel, who says, WhatsApp group chat in office is bad and stressful at times. It's also full of noises and distraction and no sign of productivity in place. I'll suggest to opt for Slack or Microsoft Teams. That should suffice. That was from Daniel. We've got another one here from Ro, who says, I use a really old school productivity tool called Memory. My Memory. It reminds me of all the things I need to do. Use it or lose it.
I agree.
I agree too, Ro, but my memory is really bad and I need help. So something that I cannot live without is the Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put everything in there just because, you know, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, what do I have on today? And, you know, it's just a quick fix for me. But also, stuff that I do on weekends too, I find that I'm actually calendaring those things as well. So
there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's a problem with that at all. Yeah. Over to Insta Story very quickly. Le Espionage has says, productivity tools are only as productive as its user. CowCowVeg have actually messaged us and said, entirely depends on the specific tools. The Evernote app has been great for us. Last Insignia has said, more to keep the work stress at bay. And Tenshi has said, try Trello. Anybody try Trello?
I've heard of Trello.
Christine has hands up. Mm-hmm. I have tried it. I
have used Trello.
You have used Trello?
Yeah.
What is it?
I forgot that I've used Trello. It's one of those apps that I tried when I, you know, to do the productivity thing.
To make sure that I don't forget stuff.
And then I forgot to use Trello.
And then you forgot how to use it, yeah.
I hear a lot of people in the States are actually using Trello at home too, you know, like trying to get their kids to kind of like check if their kids are doing their homework and if the kids are doing their chores. So it's called the slackification of America.
The slackification of America.
Yeah, it's like how they're bringing productivity tools home and using it to manage home better.
Interesting. Right. Okay. Let's go back to the Vox Pops that we managed to collate from this morning. Christine was running around the office asking people, shoving a microphone in their face, asking them a bunch of questions. We asked them, do you think productivity tools are actually difficult to implement?
It really depends on the personal preference, really. I mean, I have friends who... their lives are completely revolved around productivity tools and everything's just on the cloud. Although everyone is going to cloud services, but I still prefer something that is a checklist. Sometimes when I do groceries, I actually write it down in a notepad and it helps rather than just referring to my phone. And, you know.
I would say so because like I don't have the habit. So I think like to a certain extent, like I think the productivity tools are helpful because like it reinforces a habit you should have, which is to use it every day. So like once you hit the point where, okay, I know what I need to do. Like the productivity tools, you can slowly wane off it, I think.
I think so because productivity tools differ. How useful are they differs from person to person, right? What works for me might not work for you. It's different for each of us. One tool can't increase productivity for everyone. So I think it has to be individualized because otherwise you're just imposing what you think will work onto everyone. And then it might just add more stress to the person using that tool instead.
I have a bone to pick with one of our Vox Pops there. You may have heard somebody exclaim, I actually wrote it down in a notepad. Mm-hmm. That was Olivia. who is, I believe, she works with our digital team. What was she? She made it sound like it was, you know, prehistoric to write things down on a notepad. And I understand that everybody is now using their phone for everything. I get it. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I have a bone to pick with her afterwards. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so not only did we just ask a bunch of people in the office, of course, because that we need to get a balanced kind of view of this, right? So we thought, well, who better to speak to than somebody who works for an R&D tech productivity company? His name is Sebastian Marshall. He's the co-founder of Ultraworking. And we managed to ask him, how do you even measure productivity in the first place?
So I always like the word effectiveness more than productivity because it's quite clear what it means. You know, it's like productive. It's like, okay, you keep kind of buzzing around doing stuff, but does it matter? Effectiveness is making things you want to have happen. You become more effective by either getting more of the outcomes you want. And that'll vary. If you're a teacher, that would be that the students learning well and having great experience, the parents being connected. If you're in business, you know, as a manager, that would be your team always knowing what's up and being on the right projects and having good internal team. If you're a recruiter that's getting qualified applicants and then having them join, but then also getting those outcomes in less inputs, right? So less time, less money, faster, less calendar days passing, right? So you can either get more outcomes in the same time or it takes less time, less money, less calendar days passing, then you're being more effective and more productive.
So why do you think companies are struggling with not only productivity issues, but now with introducing tools to help it as well?
I think a lot of times people that are very technologically fluent aren't very empathetic to people that are not used to it. It'd be like if you're trying to, you know, order from a restaurant menu in a language you speak a few words of. You know, if you speak a few words, you know, of Hindi and you're trying to order at an Indian restaurant, right? So it's worth bearing that in mind. One thing we have to recognize in business and anything is that complexity is also the enemy. The more stuff you have going on, the more places things can break, the more things people have to learn, and you can kind of get bogged down in your own structure. So you want to run with the simplest possible set of tools you can at your current level, and everything you add should have really a disproportionate benefit where it should be solving a problem or enhancing some sort of skill or something you want to deliver.
All right, speaking about those tools, what might help a company who are trying to implement more tools of productivity effectiveness into their workplace? What might help them?
First off, watching somebody that's very fluent on the tool, just use it. I think it's very helpful. I think people don't do this enough. The other one is whenever possible, if you're a manager or a technologist, bring a technology to people, make the first thing you introduce them to not, hey, we got to set up this whole thing, but take one part of their workflow that's slow or aggravating or unpleasant and show them how using the new thing is going to make that better. That might be only like a little tiny percent of whatever your new platform is, your CRM or your accounting or whatever that is. But if they see that, whoa, this thing that I was doing 40 minutes a week is only going to take 5 minutes on here, you just show them that. Well, maybe people are going to be a lot more excited to then go learn their way around and see what other kind of capabilities it has. I think every CEO for sure, and most C-level executives, and even most managers, you should learn about APIs, which are programming interfaces to make it possible for one application to talk to another one and get the data from them. I think that's something that's really strategic level. It's not an implementation detail, because when you can make those things really visible, you know, kind of across the whole organization and to whoever needs to see it, really great efficiency gains. And that also means you don't need to do these, okay, let's invest in this incredibly expensive all-in-one platform, because you can just make the stuff talk to each other pretty easily. And this does not require a rocket scientist on your staff to be able to do this.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so I think it just comes down to, you know, like based on what he says, I think it just comes down to one, whether you make the most out of the tools, whether you actually need the tools. I think that's what I got most out of the things that he said. Some companies, I think, leverage too much on the tools because they feel like they have to, or they need to be in the, you know, in the loop or whatever.
They're being left out. Digital.
Yeah. So, you know, so they just implement everything.
Yeah.
I used to freelance for this company that used to put out like articles online and stuff, and they used Slack, but you also had to use Asana to book your topics and stuff. And then they had other things like WordPress, and then they had like the basic like spreadsheets and stuff when you needed to complete your tasks. So there were like four or five different tools that they use at the same time, and it got really, really confusing. And I think that's what a lot of companies do nowadays. They just like implement everything and then nothing streamlined and everyone's just stressed out at the end of the day.
Mm. Or something to add?
I totally agree with what Arv just said. So, but like I said, you know, some productivity tools, I guess, you know, you just need to kind of learn how to use because it's just part of how the team works or the company works. So you've got to get into that. But unnecessarily try not to, unless it really just applies to your business or the way your office works.
Great. Okay, we're going to wrap up and take a short break with some music coming up from Muddy Waters with I Got My Mojo Working. I want to thank Sebastian from Ultra Working. When we come back, how they're actually reinventing the wheel, not literally, but yes, to keep up with the robocars, all coming up on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.